Yo, yo, 258, Carton Show. It's got a nice little note on X. Say hello to the to Pat and Mike in Trinidad, watching us at a place called Parati's in Far Hills, New Jersey. Say hi to the guys there. I guess they're making sandwiches there and
nice
prepared food. Got us out in the store today. Appreciate that. Real quick, there's an update on the Lenny Dykstra story.
Yeah, I saw
Lenny Dykstra, who went like a couple years without being arrested, which was a pretty big deal.
Good for him.
Well, unfortunately, also had a stroke last year. You know, he was stopped New Year's Day traffic stop. He was the passenger in a car. And when officers pulled the car over and did like the flashlight check of the inside of the car, I guess when Lenny went to open up the glove compartment to get his identification, inside the glove compartment, they're quoting now, they found a container holding suspected crack cocaine, methamphetamine, and a glass smoking device, which had suspected drug residue. Now, Lenny was not the driver of the car. Lenny is not the owner of the car. The owner was charged with 17 counts involved with the traffic stop. But Lenny's lawyer, Matthew Bilt, or Blitt, pardon me, said that we firmly assert that the alleged narcotics did not belong to Lenny, who is currently recovering from a serious stroke. So Lenny's got arrested. It's a misdemeanor charge against him right now, but hopefully it wasn't his. And hopefully whatever he's got going on with the people he's hanging out with,
yeah,
your changes. But yeah. That's the update on Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah, hopefully he just keeps.
Because he had gone like 2 years without being arrested. It was like a big deal for him.
Yeah, no.
So
he's kind of been on the right track. I mean, but every other year.
Like, if you're not driving the car,
right, it's not his,
and you don't own the car,
right? If you're simply going
it
to
was,
the,
I mean, maybe it was his, maybe it wasn't,
right?
But that's a pretty good defense, I would think.
So, yeah,
right,
right. You're just doing your guy in the car a favor, opening, just sitting in your car. Can you get my wallet? It's in the glove box, and out comes crack cocaine.
Yeah. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Hell of a drug.
You tell you that. All right, 888-808.
If it wasn't his, I'm sure he was pissed he was holding out on him.
Yes, yeah. Yes. That is
you had this in the car the whole time.
I didn't know. What kind of friend are you?
What kind of friend are you?
It's New Year's Day.
Kidding me?
Yeah, that's funny. Here's Nick in Newton on the Fan. Nick, what's cooking?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
All right.
All right. So, obviously, Harbaugh available changes up the thinking philosophies for the Giants. But here are the three coaches, head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, that make the most sense for us.
Okay.
Harbaugh, head coach.
All right.
Cliff Kingsbury, offensive coordinator.
Right.
Antonio Pierce, defensive coordinator. I'm done.
I mean, tragic coaching staff right there.
I mean, but can we just, I mean, listen.
Let's just get everybody.
It's a fun, like, it's a fun game to play. But yeah. In reality, you hire the coach he picks. You can't just take these coordinators from everywhere and say, well, this is my coach. This is my offense coordinator. Like, he's going to come in. It sounds like part of the sticking point with Baltimore is he wanted to keep Monken as his offensive coordinator. So, like, there's a chance he could be the offensive coordinator with him if he comes here. It's going to be John Harbaugh's staff.
Yeah, and so when these things happen, you don't know, like, which rumors to believe.
Yeah.
Because Todd Monken was interviewing for another job.
Right.
I guess a head coaching job.
Right. If he gets a coaching job,
right,
that's different.
Prior to Harbaugh being fired.
Yeah.
I heard some other insiders say the exact opposite, that he wanted to keep the DC, not the OC. So
yeah.
All I know is he's available. Look, that's a comical idea because it's not going to happen.
No.
I'm not sure why you'd want Antonio Pierce anyway. And Cliff Kingsbury is going to be a head coach somewhere. I don't think he's going to be an offensive coordinator this year, but. Look, the reality is this. In the moment, you are the hot single girl at the prom without a date.
Yep.
You are the best available opportunity. Here's the weird thing for me. And again, I'm not trying to rain on your parade. I grinched you in the first hour.
Yeah.
All right? What I'm fascinated by, and I do think that appearance, physical appearance sometimes, does play a role in this, all right?
Okay.
I happen to be a fan of Mike McCarthy's.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the greatest coach of all time? No, he is not.
No.
Should he have won more in Green Bay?
Yeah.
100% yes. Did take Dallas to the playoffs, though. All right, so you do get some credit for that, considering nobody takes the Dallas Cowboys to the playoffs, all right? But here's the thing I'm trying to figure out, and what I believe in my heart. I firmly believe that if Mike McCarthy was a better-looking, thinner man, that he would be at the top of a lot of people's lists for coach replacement. Because when you look at the actual numbers, and he's got a long enough career to make a fair comparison to both, I think, John Harbaugh, and I always compare him to Sean Payton because it was literally on the number prior to this year, obviously, right? And yet, Mike McCarthy is going to be interviewed by the Giants. I think he even may have already been interviewed.
Yeah,
if he hasn't, I know he's going to be, right?
It's coming up. Today is the fans.
And here's what's interesting about that.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy has the same percentage of winning, the same Super Bowl wins as John Harbaugh.
Yes.
And we have not taken a single call today or yesterday, nor is anybody I'm aware of on the radio station from a Giant fan saying, great news, Mike McCarthy is being interviewed by the Giants. And when you look at the resumes, they're the same.
Yeah.
So how come you guys aren't giddy over the prospects of getting Mike McCarthy? And I'll tell you what, because you're fat shaming him.
Yeah, I think to accuse me of fat shaming
that's what you're doing.
And I don't like it, to be totally honest with you.
That's what you're doing.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. How dare you,
how dare you? No, I don't know if that's it. I think there's a bunch of different reasons. I mean, if Andy Reid were available right now, I know the resume's different. He's got multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But I don't think when Andy Reid left Philadelphia, he was a pretty hot commodity.
But to be fair,
like, you know,
Andy Reid's been in 13 or 14 championship games.
I get it, but still never won there.
That's true.
McCarthy
five championship
did have the championship. I do think that Aaron Rodgers was so good for so long. It's really like Lamar Jackson's won multiple MVPs, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers is top five of whoever played the game.
I agree.
And I think not winning enough with him and some brutal losses. I mean, they were 15-1 after that Super Bowl, lost to the Giants, who were, you know, a 10-win team. Like, that's like, there's a lot of really bad losses. There's just a lot of bad losses with him in Green Bay. I think that sticks to him a little bit. And then if you remember the bad mouthing coming out of Green Bay, like, I think there's also something to the idea when, like, Harbaugh's going to leave, and they're not going to say anything about Harbaugh in Baltimore. They're not going to say negative things about him.
There'll be rumors.
Yeah, there'll be some rumors.
Because there are
stuff,
people in the Lamar Jackson
camp. It felt
camp.
Like Green Bay was on an active campaign to make sure he didn't get another job.
Well,
like, there was some bitterness there. I don't know exactly what was going on. And there's been some end of game. There's been a lot of clock management. There's been a lot of things that the average fan can, like, when I talk about things like this, I always go to Giancarlo Stanton. And I'm the Yankee guy. It's what I do. But, like, Giancarlo Stanton will take swings at a baseball when he's cold, where you're like, what in the world is
frequently
that? And it's obvious to the ignorant fan. Like, I know that's freaking terrible.
Right.
And I think he's had enough where there were some big moments and some big decisions and enough of a track record and a talking point around him that he isn't the guy to get you over the hump, even though he's won a championship, that it's stuck with him. I don't know if it's necessarily the way he looks or whatever, but I think that might have a role in it. But I think it's mostly, I think there's just a very heavy perception that in the biggest of moments, his team's come up small.
I mean, that might be
fair. That's it.
By the way, if you're looking at resumes, his resume's
right,
as good as anybody's.
And I will tell you, up until John Harbaugh, if it was Stefanski, Mike McCarthy, I would tell you I'd prefer Stefanski. But Mike McCarthy,
you wouldn't be upset.
How could you be?
Yeah.
How could you, like, in a really strong, adamant voice, tell me that you know Stefanski is a better head coach than Mike McCarthy?
You don't.
You can't.
I agree.
You can't say that.
Outside of having the two-time coach of the year award.
Yeah, I mean, you can say you like him, you prefer him, he's younger, he's this, he's that, he's whatever, you don't like Mike McCarthy. I mean, you can make a case, but you can't stand on a soapbox and scream into the heavens
but the
and
reality
say Mike
is
McCarthy
this.
Sucks and Stefanski's fantastic.
If Mike McCarthy looked like Richard Gere, Mike McCarthy would be the top of everyone's list. If he looked like George Clooney, everybody would want Mike McCarthy. The fact that he looks like Augustus Gloop makes people say, I don't think he's that good a coach. And the guy's just as successful as Harbaugh, just as successful as Sean Payton. That's the reality.
I guess. I mean, Sean Payton looks enough like Kevin James where they let him play him in a movie. So,
there you go.
He's got a job.
By the way, one of the worst Disney flicks of all time.
That was
all time.
Was
and
bad.
By the way, one of the reasons Sean Payton will not speak to me. True story.
One of the reasons.
The main reason.
I was gonna say,
the
main
reason.
How many wrongs do you
the
have
main
against
reason.
Sean Payton?
No, I'm not a Sean Payton guy.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's any better than Mike McCarthy.
Okay.
All right. But when I was on FS1, I did a whole thing about how, number one, he didn't deserve a movie.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, I compared him to Mike McCarthy, and I said the Sean Payton movie is arguably the worst Disney release of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So he was supposed to be, I guess, the first booked guest when they changed the show from the Carton Show to Breakfast Ball.
Right.
It was me, Mark Schlereth, and Danny Parkins.
Right. Yeah.
And Mark Schlereth is very close with Sean Payton. So Mark gets Sean Payton booked on the show. I'm not sure if we've ever told this story. The day before, the night before, Mark calls me up and he goes, little update. Sean's not going to be joining us tomorrow morning. I'm like, that's all good. I don't care. Like, why? He goes, because of you.
Because you're not the movie?
And I go, what did I say? He goes, he watches the show. He knows that you keep comparing him to Mike McCarthy. And he knows that you said I forget the name of the movie.
Yeah,
I know. You remember it was what it was called?
Yeah, I forget.
But you said that the Sean Payton Disney movie was the worst Disney movie of all time. And he will not come on the show now.
Oh, my God.
That's a true story.
That's pathetic.
Yeah. Matter of fact, a unnamed producer, if you want to call a stink up, he'll reiterate for you. I'll give you his number during the break. Here's Anthony in Long Island on the Fan. Anthony, what's going on, Cookie?
Hello.
La, la, la.
Carton, you're the best, man. Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Listen, so Mike McCarthy, right?
Yeah.
I want to know, Chris, why you like Stefanski so much and why you want Stefanski over Mike McCarthy. Stefanski has done nothing. Two Coach of the Year awards, okay?
Yeah.
Last two seasons, I believe he was 8-26. Did you see the two-point conversion move?
The Wildcat.
This season, did you see that?
Yeah,
and
they took him.
My four-year-old nephew could have made that call better. I mean, it was brainless.
Yeah.
Why do you like this guy? If they make him the coach,
yeah,
I don't think I could be a Giants fan anymore.
Crazy. I mean, two-time Coach of the Year with the Browns, right? He's a young offensive coach.
He didn't even coach in one of those playoff games.
Did you see them stand up and beat the Steelers when the Steelers then turn around and beat the Ravens the next week? You see them fight for him to the end? Did you hear Jackson Dart? Have you heard Jackson Dart talk glowingly about him and the meetings that they had during the draft process and how that's part of the reason why the Giants traded up in front of Cleveland? Because there was a lot of speculation that Stefanski loves Jackson Dart and it was reciprocal. Like, I want to work with the quarterback. Right? And something was up with him in this organization. There's no doubt. A lot of people think he took Shador Sanders off the field in spite. I have no idea, and I would hate that.
A lot of people say that.
A lot of people say that.
There's a lot of race baiting going on with that, too. But
it doesn't make any sense, but I agreed. Listen, I want Harbaugh as bad as I want anything in this world, and I agree with you. He did a dumb thing setting up for the field goal. So, like, coaches aren't immune from mistakes. And I can give you a million Mike McCarthy mistakes.
Sure.
A million.
Sure.
So I think Stefanski is a good offensive head coach. He did take a Browns team to the playoffs twice. I do think Jackson Dart and him are a good fit. And I think he's just a good, solid head football coach. I don't think he's great. The minute Harbaugh was announced, I said, get back on the plane to Cleveland.
You jumped right off that Stefanski wagon.
He was the best of the available. He's right there with Mike McCarthy. I prefer him to Mike McCarthy, but I wouldn't scream from the heavens that Mike McCarthy's much worse.
Do you think the Giants still took Stefanski out for lunch or dinner?
Yes, they went out to dinner last night.
Like I said, right?
Yes.
Good, we got that one right. Broke that story. No one gives us credit for it.
Nope. Had him on the plane. That was you.
Had him on the plane. Had him landing in Newark. Had him going out to dinner last night.
To be fair, once you have him on the plane, the landing isn't really breaking news.
It'd be breaking news if he didn't land. That's a fair point.
That's a fair point.
I shouldn't brag about the plane landing.
No, I mean, once you have him on the plane, we all assume
it lands.
You know,
it's funny. I called my buddies at Fiorino's in Summit, which is the famous meeting place for when David Carr came in through town and might have become the Jet quarterback. Remember that?
Okay. Vaguely.
Do you remember that big lunch they had? You don't remember that lunch?
No, not really.
You don't remember that lunch?
It seems rather insignificant, no? Why is it seem like something I should know? Derek Carr, Before he went to New Orleans.
Before the Jets got Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sorry.
There's this legendary Italian restaurant in Summit called Fiorino's. And if you want to have like a high-powered lunch where you're going to hire your new $100 million coach, your quarterback, that's where you do it.
Right, I remember that, yes.
Right, so I called them up because I figured out, and then it dawned on me that it's the Giants, not the Jets.
Yeah. Still might have been the place.
No, they confirmed there was no dinner there.
Yeah.
We had that confirmed.
There was a dinner last night.
But they had dinner and then today they met.
I think he's a legitimate hire, and I'm willing to put him on the back burner and go chase Harbaugh, even if I lose him.
What's your go-to at the Italian restaurant? Now, I know your in-laws own one for a long time.
They did own one
so
for a long
time.
So
if you take your father-in-law's best dish out, you and I go out to a random Italian restaurant, all right? And what's the go-to order, assuming everything's available?
Pasta and seafood.
So a little frutti di mare?
Perfect.
You go there?
Yes.
You go frati ab?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Like
so
spicy.
You're a red sauce guy?
Yes. I mean...
Linguine and clams, red or white?
Yes. White.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Just checking.
If I could have pasta, I had this discussion with my father-in-law the other day, actually. If I could have a choice between tomato sauce or just, you know, garlic and oil, I would take garlic and oil.
All day, right? If it's a vodka sauce?
I'll tell you this, all right? And I don't want to be a snob. But I've had, if you take me to a fancy restaurant, unless it's a, like what's the name of that very fancy red sauce place in the city? That's
Carbone.
Carbone,
like, most overrated restaurant in America. Well,
if you go to a place like that,
I'm not that guy.
Yeah,
it's the most overrated Italian restaurant in America. It is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. I've been there once.
Good.
But like, if you said we're going to a fancy Italian restaurant and you order penne alla vodka, like. Please. We got a problem.
It's embarrassed.
That's embarrassed.
Like, you've embarrassed.
I don't even
yourself.
Want it on the menu, to be totally honest. It shouldn't even be on the menu.
It's peasants food.
It's
beneath
it. It's in between salad and dinner at a wedding. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what penne alla vodka is. You don't go to an Italian restaurant or a penne alla vodka. You just don't. You get something nice. You get some seafood. You get, you know.
Can you get the rigatoni bolognese in the vodka sauce?
No.
Okay, just
bolognese
just check
is
it.
Its own sauce.
Just asking. There's restaurants that do it.
No.
They do it.
No, you don't get vodka sauce.
Okay.
Unless it's on, I don't know. You're
going to
have shrimp or something. Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Buffet on a cruise.
Yeah.
Before a wedding.
What are you raising your hand for?
Well, I'd like to.
But I didn't ask you to participate in this.
Well, that's why
I raised his hand.
Yeah, but you kind of like turned on your mic, raised your finger, like you were just going to talk whether I wanted you to or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to. If you called on me, I was going
to. But I didn't call on you.
All right.
I mean, you kind of did. You called on him to scold
me. No, because he started waving at me.
Yeah,
then he held his finger up. Then he turns his microphone on. Whatever's so important to say, I guess, say it.
Yeah, well, there's also the fettuccine sauce, the Alfredo sauce.
The Alfredo
sauce is for homeless people.
What?
You order Alfredo sauce, I kick you out of the restaurant.
No.
Yeah, Alfredo sauce.
Alfredo sauce is one of the best.
Yeah. There's a word for people like you.
Yeah.
Italians call you metagons. That's what they call you. You people.
Yes.
Can I get a good Alfredo sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want a bottomless salad bowl, too? Huh?
And endless breadsticks?
Is that what you want? Alfredo sauce. No self-respecting eater at an Italian restaurant orders the Alfredo sauce.
It's right up there.
Loser.
It's right up there with the vodka sauce.
It's worse than the vodka sauce.
Yeah.
Ugh. Please go carbonara. That's fine.
Yeah,
put a little shrimp.
If you're gonna get something, creamy and thick like that, you get the carbonara.
What are you talking about?
You put shrimp on it too. It's perfect.
No. You just ruined the shrimp.
Oh.
You don't have cheese with shrimp, you knucklehead.
Yeah.
No, you got to put fettuccine Alfredo with
no,
the
no,
shrimp.
No, again, you don't. Sorry.
Yeah.
You don't. You've embarrassed yourself here today. That's all you've done. It's a good thing I've never said your name.
That's all you've done, Coffee.
I'm happy I raised my hand.
Here's Dave.
You didn't hit the show open, Pete. You didn't hit the show open.
Alfredo.
It's going to take a week, at least.
Yeah. Dave is in Glastonbury on the Fan. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys? Love listening to you. I've got to tell you, first of all, you're right. You're not going to get a single call on McCarthy for the Jets. It's not so much because he's fat. It's more than that he just looks like he's a stitch of mud. You know, Harbaugh wears glasses. You know,
it looks a little smarter.
Yeah, you know, I want to go back to the Jets and the Giants here, and I want to take the 30,000-foot view. You know, you had one era with the Jets with Joe Namath back in the 1968 or 1969, whenever they won their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, with the Giants, you know, you've had Sims and LT. You had Manning beating the best quarterback in the NFL twice in the Super Bowl, right? Not once, twice. And now you got Dart, who looks really promising, no matter who is going to be his coach. So, you know, you can't really compare the Giants to the Jets like that.
No, you can't compare them this offseason based on the talent that each roster. My point was, you know, I only brought up because Big Mac made the point of the history and the prestige of the organization in the annals of the NFL, which we all have great regard for, obviously. When you compare the rosters today, they're not comparable. When you compare the results of playing professional football over the last decade, they are interchangeable, which is frankly sad, considering that great history that the Giants have that the Jets don't have.
It's disgusting.
The good news for the Giants, though, I'll say this, is when Eli Manning gets into the Hall of Fame,
yeah, rightfully so,
we'll have a quarterback with more interceptions and touchdowns in the Hall of Fame, and you'll have a quarterback with a 500 record in the Hall of Fame. We're getting closer, not farther apart.
He was on some
apart.
Lousy teams.
Yeah.
is he the only quarterback that would have a record under 500 in the Hall of Fame? I feel like his father in the Hall of Fame?
I think his dad did, too.
Yeah.
I
mean,
but is Arch in the Hall of Fame?
I wanted to say yes. Now
you
I'm
double
not
check that. Yeah. I don't know about that either.
But if he is, he definitely had all those years on the stage.
I don't think there's five guys, quarterbacks, in the Hall of Fame with losing records. You know, Namath's the only guy with more picks than touchdowns in the Hall of Fame from, obviously, as quarterback.
No, he's not.
He didn't get Arch's
in
not
college,
in.
But not the pro.
Yeah. Well, look, played on a lot of really bad teams.
Played on a lot of really bad teams.
Yeah, and never once asked to be traded.
Nope.
Different era. Is what that was,
and then he made sure his kids went wherever they
exactly
wanted.
Right. Hey, San Diego.
Loyal while I was here, but now right. I'm making sure you don't go where I don't want you to go.
Here's Billy in Rockland County on the Fan. Billy, what's up,
boys? I got two things I want to throw at you real quick.
Yeah.
First one is Italian restaurant right near the kickoff to summer. Hopefully, you guys are doing it next year in Asbury. Brando's.
I'm not going to Asbury Park, New Jersey, for the kickoff to summer. It's too far south. Sorry.
Ah, come on. It's right there. Right there. Right down the block.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I like Asbury Park, but I'm a DJ's guy.
Well, that's right. You do your show at DJ's. Afterwards, you go for a bite to eat.
Oh,
right,
if you want
the
to do that. There's some great restaurants in Asbury Park, but I don't need to go to Jersey to get a good Italian food.
I hear you. Now, I think yesterday you guys had, it was either you or one of the shows, had somebody talking about drafting, getting the number one draft, and saying that the first team to miss the playoffs should be the one to get the number one.
That wasn't us, but I think someone on the station had
that. Yeah, I mean, I've talked about a point system.
The idea is to try to make that, because look, we all sat at home on Sunday after Saturday's, the two games that were essentially, important playoff type games. Yeah. Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock was just very hard to watch. Obviously, Sunday night was great.
Yeah.
And we got a great game. We got lucky.
Yeah.
Coming down to the final, literally play of the game. So a lot of people, I may have been Evan. I do someone on the station. I saw it like on a TikTok clip or something, had an idea of trying to figure out a way for a team not to tank. I think he may have even came off. The Raiders were clearly trying to tank.
Sure.
By sitting guys who weren't hurt,
Max,
all that stuff.
Crosby, right? Yeah.
And then the Giant fans saw Theo Johnson at the Garden.
Yep.
He was out with an illness.
Yep.
But he was like, I'm at Madison Square Garden. I'm fine. Not that he's Max Crosby, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was probably a conversation of how do you make the last game for teams that are gunning for the first pick to have to try to win to get the pick?
Yes. And I have a great idea.
Go ahead, do it.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
All right, okay, yeah. Apparently this is done.
Is it a long idea? Like, it's going to take a while to explain it?
Just sit down. It'll be a quick few minutes.
Okay,
no. Apparently the Female Professional Hockey League does it, believe it or not. But it's a point.
Hold on.
It's a point system.
There's a Female Professional Hockey League?
I want to be transparent. It's not my idea.
Is it the WNBA?
A caller suggested it to me, and that's how he presented it. I haven't double-checked, but I know there is a Female Hockey League.
It's a good way to lose an argument.
Well, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, here's what the most popular sports league on the planet, played by men, should do. We should copy something women do in hockey.
Yes. Do you know how many ideas? Do you know how many ideas the NFL took from the XFL? That disaster.
Yes, they did.
Say so.
Grown men playing football.
Right. Well, I'm just saying it's a point system. It's a point system. So real quick, the minute you're eliminated from the postseason, every game from that point on, you have the ability to accrue points, whether it's winning a game for points, scoring touchdowns, turnovers, whatever.
Stop,
you get
stop,
as many
not,
points.
Stop, please stop.
Why?
It's already stupid.
It's
and
not
convoluted
stupid.
And dumb.
It's not convoluted.
Not
you get points.
I'm passing. I'm not doing points.
Why not?
Because I'm not doing points.
We're not doing points. Playing well.
No, we're not going to incentivize a lousy team suddenly playing well. We call that Giants football. We're not doing that.
No, exactly right.
We're not doing that.
I want the benefit of winning those two games.
We're not doing that. The unnamed producer told me the Women's Hockey League, which I'm sure they're fabulous hockey players.
Yeah.
Nothing against that at all. I just have no interest in watching them do it.
Right.
Is the PHL.
The PHL.
Do you know what P stands for?
Undefeated?
Be careful now.
Undefeated?
Maybe.
Yeah. You're missing the W. It's PWHL.
Oh, PW.
Oh, yeah.
Solves
Even better. I know the W's whipped. What's the P stand for there, unnamed producer?
What does it stand for?
I wonder if there's like a Caitlin Clark of women's college hockey who would make me want to think about watching women's professional hockey. Probably not. Again, they're good at hockey. I'm not saying they're not.
Like, there is going to be one, and she actually plays for the New York team, the Sirens, Casey O'Brien.
What is wrong with you? Honestly, like,
I did an interview with her last year when she got drafted.
No one listened to it.
I'm not saying they did.
Like, did you get dropped on your head at some point? I respect the MMA fandom. I respect the boxing fandom.
Yeah.
All right. But at some point, you got to draw the line, man.
I draw some lines.
Where do you draw the line? Dwarf soccer?
That would be a good interview.
No one. It'd be fun to watch, but it would not be a good interview.
Do they play with the same size soccer ball?
No. They don't.
I've declined pillow fights. That's where I'm at.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, too.
Yeah.
Like grown men hitting each other with pillows.
I feel like the end of Cardin Roberts was the beginning of the slap.
It was right around then.
We were talking about it. Is that still a thing?
It is. Dana White, I think they bought it. UFC or the Fertittas bought it, I think.
They have it. I don't think it's part of the Paramount stuff, but they...
No, it's not part of Paramount, but they own it.
Yeah.
I think, what's the agency that bought... the Fertittas sold it to, was it CAA or one of those groups?
I don't know, that's where I draw the line. I can't watch that. I have no interest.
I have to tell you this. I'm, a huge MMA guy.
Yeah.
I'm a huge boxing guy.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we got a guy, my main man, Mr. Lopez from Brooklyn, who's, I think, a three-time champ, maybe a four-time champ, fighting at the Garden on my birthday later this month.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. But I'm disturbed by the open-hand slap fighting. And there's actually a couple of like, attractive women in it, too.
Yeah.
And it's hard to watch.
It's very hard to watch.
To be honest, I want to try it, but it's hard to watch. That's one of those deals where you go, I go first.
Yeah, right. Exactly right.
You never want to go
second. No, you never want to go second.
You can't go second.
No.
You might not survive until you get a chance to go. 888-808-1019. Your call's coming up. Lots of football, obviously. The Giants at some point are going to meet with Harbaugh. Today is the Kevin Stefanski day. We'll get into that a little bit more with you. Got a lot of other stuff coming your way as well right after this.
This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. And I'm sure we're going to get into it in a little bit, but I'm focused on the New York Yankees doing something. They just lost out on another pitcher as Edwin Cabrera got traded to the Cubs. And it feels like that the Bellinger signing is holding up everything. And the New York Yankees, as much as I want Bellinger, the idea that they can't trade for a pitcher, they can't go get a bullpen arm, they won't start their offseason until Bellinger decides that the numbers he's asking for is ridiculous, starting to piss me off.
Hey, wait a minute. The Yankees didn't say that. You're saying it.
I'm saying it. That's obviously what's happening.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. They're not going to do anything until they don't think
the Yankees are capable of negotiating with multiple players at the same time?
They're not going to.
No, I'm sure they are.
No, they're not.
No, they are.
No, they're not going to do anything until they know what they have to do in left field.
You've just decided that the Yankees didn't get a...
do you know who you're talking to? I know them.
Often injured pitcher.
Yes.
Because they're still talking to Bellinger?
No, it's partially because of the injuries.
And why would you want a guy that's never available?
Because he's an excellent arm.
When he's healthy.
When's healthy.
When's that?
Some of the time.
Some of the time.
Go
okay.
get Peralta. Listen, I'm just saying that it's feeling more and more like they're not doing anything until they know what's going on in left field. And that's starting to bother me. Go do something. We'll get into it. The Fan Focus was sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Tell him I'm next. So this seems like apropos time. As you join us on the Carton Show, Chris McMonagle, Big Mac, Craig Carton, great to have you here. If you'll indulge me for 30 seconds on this, because I've not heard it either, just real quick.
Okay.
It's the it's a scandal in the music business.
Okay.
All right? Anita Baker, Michael McDonald.
Right.
If you don't know Anita Baker, can you give me just a little taste of Anita Baker in there? Or do you want me to push this back a second or two? You ready? All right. Right? Okay, kill it. Okay. Bang. Anita Baker, okay?
Got it.
We all know Michael McDonald, all right?
Of course.
All right. Doobie Brothers, Michael McDonald solo, Yacht Rock, the whole thing, okay?
Yep.
So the scandal is this. The scandal is that you can look at it one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the scandal, as I've heard it, is that Michael McDonald is Anita Baker. Kind of like Eddie Murphy played the Crunks, whatever it was in, what was it?
The Nutty Professor?
Yeah, the Nutty Professor. He played the whole family, right? Yeah. So the scandal is that Anita Baker's not real. Not a real human being. Doesn't tour or anything.
Really?
And that Michael McDonald is merely dressing up as an African-American woman. And here's the proof. They say if you take that Anita Baker song,
okay,
and you merely slow it down.
Right.
And you do nothing else. No pyrotechnics or any of that stuff. You tell me who's singing the song.
Okay.
So I had Paul, one of our great production dudes here, directors here. I asked him to do that. Take the Anita Baker song and do nothing but slow it down. And this is what it sounds like. That's Michael McDonald.
Especially the baby, some of them, yeah. That sounds just like him.
Yeah.
Like it's just Michael McDonald sped up?
It's Michael McDonald.
And that's how they get it. That's how he gets Anita Baker?
Yeah. So Anita Baker's not a real person. Michael McDonald has played the role of a black woman. At the same time, he's a white man.
That is unbelievable.
He's double dipping. Yeah. It's like, remember the Weather Girls, It's Raining Men?
Of course.
So the Weather Girls were two or three, sadly for them, very large women. And because they were large women,
you're knocking coaches, singers, anyone who's large. I feel like it's an attack on large people today.
I love large people.
Okay.
I do. But the record label didn't think anyone would buy it because they were large.
Okay.
So they put out like hot models pretending to be the singers.
Yeah.
Michael McDonald cornered two markets.
Yeah.
The black kind of gospel-y soul market and the white yacht rock market. Anita Baker's a fraud.
That's unbelievable. Who would have known?
There you go.
Didn't Garth Brooks have like an alter ego? Didn't he come out with like
I think he was the Mets center fielder, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played with the Red Hills. He could be now. They don't have one. But he came out like Chris something or other.
Did he?
Garth Brooks, and he had like, he just put his hair down and looked a little like gothish.
That's funny. Yeah. Actually, someone asked me a funny question for Met fans.
Chris Hines?
It's like a quick quiz kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so we'll play the quick quiz. We'll play the game with you real quick. Then we'll get back to your calls in a second on football.
Okay.
Here's the question and if you're like the seven line, like Darren and those guys, I ask you guys this question too, okay?
Uh-huh.
See how quick you can answer. As a matter of fact, unnamed producer is a Met fan.
He is.
So
Met fan.
I'll give you permission to speak, okay? Because I don't want to ask a Yankee fan. Okay. And he studies this stuff anyway. And you have to answer in rhythm. None of this I understand the question. you have to answer it right away.
Yeah,
okay?
Don't slow it down.
So
like Anita Baker. This,
like if I say, what's 2 + 2?
4.
Okay, what's 3 + 3?
6.
5 + 6?
11.
Okay, name two Met outfielders.
Cedric Mullins is not there anymore.
So there you go. See?
Yeah.
It's a great question.
Yeah, they
if you're a diehard Mets fan.
Yeah.
You can name one.
Yeah.
You didn't even name Soto, but okay.
Yeah.
Name two.
Yeah, Taylor. That's it. They have two guys. Unbelievable. This baseball offseason's pissing me off. I got to talk to your guy tomorrow.
Rob Manfred?
I got to talk to him tomorrow.
By the way, yes, Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball, will be in studio at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon.
If they have to steal it from a female hockey league, whatever they have to do to make this a more interesting offseason, a more compelling offseason, and have some sort of a time frame where deals get done.
Yeah.
Because this drawn-out crap, it kills the
momentum.
It's
only drawn out because the Yankees and Mets haven't really done anything yet.
No, it's because, the CBA is probably part of it. People are afraid to spend money next year.
Sure.
Right? You got Tucker.
But you would think because of this pending work stoppage a year from now, you would think a lot more deals would get done now so the guys could lock in money for this year.
I mean, well,
that's what I would think.
I would think, but guys want to get paid because they don't know what it's going to be like next year.
How can the commissioner fix that? Like the fact that the Yankees haven't made a deal yet, which I know is frustrating.
Yeah.
The fact that the New York Mets, people are mad at David
Stearns. Incentivizes them to do moves in December.
Put a trade deadline in.
I mean, Soto got signed last year in January, right? December, January,
no,
right?
People get signed, but there's the winter meetings. Right. Make sure action gets done at the winter meetings.
But you can't force a team to make deals.
Sure you can.
Why?
Because I want it done in the time frame.
So in other words, you want to put a deadline.
Bingo.
A better deadline.
Yes.
Like you would want to like make it up in January 15th deadline.
Well,
or you want
to
earlier?
I think that's probably tough to just put a deadline on it, but put
that's the only way to force
put a trade deadline on it. Incentivize teams. If you sign before this time period, you get this much less off the tax exemption, whatever. Something where things actually get done. Nothing gets done. It's the most boring offseason. Football, we know the deals before free agency starts.
It's a different sport, though.
Why?
Why
is that offseason
so much
different?
You're letting your emotions for the lack of moves for your favorite team color your overall thought process on what's wrong.
That's not
what's
true.
Wrong is that the Yankees haven't done anything.
Who's the biggest free agent on the market?
Bellinger?
No. Tucker.
Okay.
Kyle Tucker, right? We talked about him yesterday. I have no misconceptions. I have no belief that he is going to be a New York Yankee.
But you want him to be somewhere.
I want him to be somewhere because it sets off the other dominoes. Like, it's about, can we build some momentum off one of the greatest World Series of all time? Nothing has happened.
Selfish.
Nothing. Yes, I'm a sports fan. It's about us.
But it's always been this way. Selfish.
I know. I don't like it. Change it up.
When the Yankees are active, you love it. You're just upset that the Yankees aren't active.
That's not true. I am upset. It's not the only reason. Major League Baseball's offseason. No, it's not. Man, Major League Baseball's offseason needs to be changed a little bit. They need to figure out a way to make it. The football offseason's exciting.
But it's never going to be the NFL.
Why?
Because it's just not. The NFL's taken over.
I'm not expecting it to be the same level of popularity. Why is there offseason where deals are done before we even begin the offseason process?
Sure.
Like the first day of free agency, I know whether I'm a Steelers fan, a Giants fan, a Tennessee Titans fan. Like I know moves are coming within a day, 2 days. Like I know here's free agency time period. I can expect my team to do something.
Sure.
As opposed to the baseball offseason where it's like, well, pitchers and catchers show up on February 20th. I'm sure they'll have to do something by then. Like it's just... Well, why football's more popular? I'm not asking.
Right.
Well, how do you make it more popular?
That's why it's
than
hard
football.
To compare the two. Like football, also people will tune in to television,
right.
to find out the schedule.
Right.
Baseball doesn't have that,
of course,
because there's fewer games.
The World Series kicked the crap out of the NBA Finals. The basketball,
it's a great World Series.
The baseball offseason, the basketball offseason has more pep to its step. It gets done quicker. Why does popularity have anything to do with how the offseason's handled?
Well, because you said your words, not mine.
Yeah.
The NFL does it.
I understand that, but my
they're different.
But you're pointing towards popularity.
I'm just saying it's selfishness. If the New York Yankees had,
I'm a fan. I'm not looking out for.
If the Yankees got Cabrera, Bellinger, and Tucker, you think you'd be upset with the offseason and the speed of it?
Yes.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
You'd be dancing a little jig with your Yankee jersey.
I'd be very happy about the Yankees offseason.
You wouldn't be complaining about the speed of signings.
Yes, I would.
Why?
Because I love baseball.
Yeah, but
for baseball. It lost all the momentum of the World Series, and now we got the idea that the lockout or whatever's looming.
Yeah.
It's going to kill the momentum of the freaking game. It's building momentum.
There's no momentum from the World Series to spring training.
Yes, there is.
Other than for the team that won.
No.
You think Dodger
the
fans
popularity.
Are upset?
No, the Dodger fans aren't upset.
Right. You're upset because, A, you lost.
No, I'm upset.
I should say, we lost.
Yes, yes.
And, B, you haven't done anything.
That's not why I'm upset.
If Cabrera, Bellinger, and Tucker are all Yankees right now, you would not be complaining about the speed of signings.
If they were, the offseason would be moving faster. Like, it's not just the Yankees. The two biggest names on the market are still out there.
Right.
The two biggest.
What are they waiting for?
What are they waiting for? Last year, right, Soto was the biggest. December 20th, or whatever it was.
Went quick.
Went quick. Let's go.
Just like that. Yep.
It was even earlier than that, December 14th or something. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
Thank God they gave him that suite.
And all the clothes for his mother and everything else. I'm still bitter about it.
Yeah.
I'm still not happy about it.
You shouldn't be.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not happy.
It's okay.
I don't care that they missed the playoffs. I don't care.
No, you should care.
I don't.
That was your payback.
It's not. Didn't feel as good.
And the fact that they've gutted the team because most of them didn't get along.
Yeah.
Because of socialism.
A socialist.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, they're Trump supporters, right? They're going at each other.
It's a whole thing. It wasn't just the players. It went beyond that, too.
Really?
Yeah. It went beyond that. Yeah. When I'm at liberty to tell you, I will. I promise.
Okay.
But it wasn't just
when we get to liberty.
It wasn't just like, Jeff McNeil or Brandon Nimmo don't get along with Francisco Lindor or Juan Soto. That was not That might have been part of it.
Yeah.
But it went beyond that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not at liberty to say, so I won't. But it was real. It was tangible. Socialism was involved. I still love the fact that the Lindors joined Mom Donnie's transition team while moving into a $22 million apartment. I love that.
Seems hypocritical.
A little bit. And then I saw the story, since we're talking Mets real quick, that Alex Cohen,
yes,
I guess, who is very popular on social media, and I think X specifically, or Twitter specifically, now that they're kind of feeling it from Met fans, and rightfully so, has now said, I'm done with social media.
Yeah.
Like, is anyone upset about that? Like, I can't tweet the owner's wife? Like, what am I going to do?
I mean,
how am I going to live my life? Alex Cohen's not on Twitter anymore. Shouldn't have been anyway.
You could think you could just do that quietly, right? Do you have to alert the world?
I want everybody to know I'm sick of all the hatred on Twitter.
I know.
I'm sick of all the negative comments. Yeah. My husband's trying really hard.
Yeah.
And we got the casino, so I'm no longer on social media. Like, are we having a funeral for her, closing down her accounts?
Yeah.
Like, did people really care?
I don't think so. But it does speak to the point that people are ridiculous. I'm sure she was getting hounded by a bunch of nonsense.
Dude, if you read my Twitter account on any day, you would get off Twitter also. But I come back and
That's
I fight.
It.
And I take the barbs.
Up.
I don't hide from people on Twitter.
That's not you.
Armchair quarterbacks.
You stand and face your issues.
Well,
you stand and face your problems.
Those people don't show their face as much, but
right,
I'm here for all of it.
Yeah.
I hate you. The show sucks.
Yep.
I love that one.
No, well.
Yeah. We've done one show.
I know. It's terrible.
Worst show in the history of WFAN.
I know, whatever.
Why did they bring him back?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got a bunch of people telling me. I got a caller. There was a caller last night to the overnight show saying, oh, I wouldn't get too comfortable, Al. McMonagle's coming back. He's not ready for big time. That's it. It's over. We've already decided it.
Here's Artie in Brooklyn on the Fan. Artie, what's going on, Cookie?
Gordon, my man, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
What's up?
Good luck. Good luck to both of you guys.
Thank you.
Go figure, right? When the Jets need a coach, Harbaugh's not available. We get Aaron Glenn.
Right.
The Giants need a coach to get Harbaugh, or they're going to get Harbaugh.
Not just that. The Giants need a coach, and there are three legitimate, maybe even four or five, legitimate top-line candidates available for their choosing.
Yep.
The same year the Jets decide, we're going to keep the coach who is arguably the worst coach in our franchise's history.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
This is where it turns, Carton. This is where it turns. Remember when the Giants got Eli? He was the number one pick, but then got traded.
Correct.
I think Mendoza's going to go to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone there. The Jets are going to go on the podium and go, we have a trade. And the Jets are going to trade their pick and the 16th pick, get Mendoza. And then the Raiders take the guy that they wanted all along, which is more.
Well,
and I think that's how it's going to go down.
Look,
Next year, we will get a coach because we will have picks and we'll have Mendoza.
Look,
from
your mouth to God's ears, right? I think every Jet fan would sign up for that, and I think we'd be willing to give up the 15th pick to get Mendoza.
No doubt.
But I think you also have to remember that there's a new sheriff in town in Las Vegas. This is not just Mark Davis kind of running things somewhat incompetently.
Yeah.
You now have Tom Brady running things. And while he failed and struck out with his pick of Geno Smith, he failed and struck out with his pick of Pete Carroll, and they got to eat that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady's got to eat that, whatever level of involvement he had, which I think was significant.
Yeah.
It seems like if all the water cooler talk is accurate, that they're looking at a Brian Flores, Brian Daboll kind of combination poo-poo platter for the coaching staff. And I would be shocked if Mendoza is not their pick. Sometimes you don't have to get cute. And I can't tell you that Dante Moore will or won't be a good quarterback. By the way, I don't know if Mendoza, to be fair, is going to be a great quarterback either. But I don't think there's any shot in hell that they are making that deal. I don't.
Can I ask a question about that little, what'd you call it, a poo-poo platter?
Little poo-poo platter. Yeah, Brian Flores, head coach, runs the defense. Brian Daboll, in theory, takes over the offense.
Just a quick question, just because they were so intertwined in Brian Flores' issues. Do you think Brian Flores holds any ill will towards Brian Daboll?
No, because it wasn't Daboll. That was Bill Belichick.
It was just Bill Belichick. Well, Bill Belichick was the one who texted the wrong person, but it was the sham interview that they always – he believes they always intended to hire Brian Daboll. Sham interview for him. Anything there?
I think If you go back 5 years,
yeah.
In the moment, yes. Yeah.
Right.
But I think at some point, especially that he remained gainfully employed,
yeah.
And did get a job and did a good job in yeah. Minnesota.
And he would be the one working over him. It wouldn't yeah. be the other way around.
Right. If he's the head coach, Brian works for him.
Yeah.
I think, look, in the moment, yes, I think he harbored resentment towards Brian Daboll.
Right.
That's natural.
Right.
I think
because
over the
you
course,
feel you're the candidate, and
yes,
he's the guy.
And while Brian Daboll did nothing wrong,
right.
He applied for a job. You applied for a job,
yep.
And Bill Belichick just did something stupid,
yeah.
And he made you feel a certain way,
right?
I do think, and I've had similar life experience in that regard. I do think, however, you quickly recognize I have no reason to be mad at that guy,
right?
He didn't do anything to me.
No, I know
the Giants did.
Yeah,
Belichick did, but Daboll didn't. So my gut is that he's okay with Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I'm just
that's
saying.
That's my gut.
Little...
And he'd be the boss, like you said.
Right. He's not going to go work for Brian Daboll. But,
no.
I mean, but still, I would think, just wondering, because people are saying it like it's a fait accompli, and I'm just like, there could be some kind of touchy resentment issues.
Well,
there.
I think you, look.
And what about for Brian Daboll? I don't know. You
Brian just, Daboll you, might not want to work for
you,
Brian
you,
Flores.
You just assumed I'm some sort of, you're the better candidate, and I'm some, right. You know, schmuck they hired because they didn't want to hire
well,
you.
Well, you know what's interesting? You know, we've heard a lot of names, you know, bantied around for this head coaching job, that head coaching job. I saw Saleh's name mentioned you know, yesterday, and he's done a really good job, obviously, as we expected he would, with San Francisco. Other than Penn State, I've not heard Brian Daboll's name mentioned as a guy like the Atlanta Falcons are bringing in.
No.
I haven't heard that at all.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to get a head coaching interview at all.
I think he's
got to go back to being a coordinator.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. He's going to have to.
Go kill
it. I think he'll get another job eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's this year.
No, you go to Vegas, you kill it.
Go to Vegas.
You bring up a young
Mendoza
quarterback.
You turn Mendoza into a franchise quarterback, you're going to get another job. No
you
question.
Become this John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You become the number one guy.
Yeah. You become a very good candidate. You literally get to sell. And anyone, especially a franchise that's going to draft a quarterback. I mean, if you can turn Mendoza into something, you've worked with Josh Allen, you worked with Jackson Dart, you got the best year out of Daniel Jones' career and won a playoff game with Daniel Jones. Like, you're going to have a resume of, I work with young quarterbacks.
100%.
There's no doubt about it.
All right, 888-808-1019. It's the Carton Show. We got Big Mac, Craig Carton. Great to have you here. Quick break, and then we'll get right back at it. And SNY will join us at the top of the hour. Hang on.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And this segment was sponsored by Upper East Side Rehabilitation and Nursing Center.